There's so much I wish you knew, and I wish I could tell you in a way that you couldn't wait to come back and learn more. I wish I had the ability to convince every one of you to repent and follow Jesus. Repentance is turning from a life that denies Jesus and live a life that acknowledges Jesus, that you want to follow Him and know Him. I wish I could had the ability to convince every one of you to confess Jesus as Lord, to name Him as your Savior, to call upon Him for salvation. I wish I had the ability to convince you to be immersed, baptized for the forgiveness of sins, and to receive the indwelling gift of God's Spirit, and to follow Him wholeheartedly. Now, every Sunday that I preach, I get down, face down before God, and I pray, God, I can't do this on my own. I can't do this. I need You to work in and through me here. You have this imperfect person. You can use this mouthpiece. You can use this body to bring Your message today. And I pray that You would multiply what I have prepared. Give it power that I can't give it. I pray that God would deliver a message to you personally. Now, this is my prayer for you, as I borrow a prayer from the Apostle Paul in Ephesians chapter 1. If you want to read along, you can go to Ephesians chapter 1, beginning with verse 15. The title of this section of this first chapter is Thanksgiving and Prayer. So I'm going to borrow the prayer of Paul. For this reason, because I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints, I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of Him. I pray that God would reveal Himself to you in a tangible way that you would know without a doubt that there is a God, that He made the heavens and the earth. And I pray that you would know Him, not just know about Him. I believe in this crowd, probably everyone in here knows about Jesus. But I want you to know Him. I want you to know the most famous man in history, the one who affected the world more than anyone in history, who formed this life that we have in this world, that now more than 2,000 years after He walked on this earth, there are more than 2.2 billion followers in the world. I want you to know Him. And as we focus upon Him today, I want to look at the last few days of His life. It was Thursday. He sent Peter and John ahead to look for a man walking, carrying a jar of water. And Jesus said, follow that man to his house. Could be a servant of the house. And go to the homeowner and ask if we can borrow a guest room for the Passover meal. So Peter and John went ahead. They found the man. They went and prepared the room. Jesus and His disciples arrived for the Passover meal, the Feast of Unleavened Bread. This is now Thursday evening. It would have been considered to them as Friday, as the days were counted from 6 p.m. to 6 p.m. Remember in Genesis, the first chapter, it was evening and it was morning the first day. It was evening and it was morning the second day. We count the days morning and then evening. But at 6 p.m. they would consider that being Friday. That evening they partook of the Passover meal. What is the Passover? They were looking back. The Jews, the Israelites, the children of God were looking back to the day that Pharaoh let the people go out of Egypt. Perhaps you've heard of the event where where Pharaoh or Moses was raised up to go to Pharaoh and say, "Let my people go." And they were going to be delivered out of slavery to a land of their own. But Pharaoh rejected that request. And plague after plague after plague came upon Egypt until the final plague. Death was going to come to the firstborn in every household, from Pharaoh all the way down to the lowest of servants. And prior to this, there were 3 days of darkness. 3 days God passed judgment upon Egypt. And then the death angel swept through Egypt. And the people of God were instructed to take a spotless lamb, a perfect lamb, and they were to sacrifice this lamb and take the blood of the lamb and place it upon the doorposts of their homes. And when the death angel came through, it passed over the homes that were covered by the blood of the lamb. And from then on, the people of God remembered that day that God delivered them out of slavery, the day that God delivered them out of Egypt, the day that God delivered them from death in their household. And when Jesus sat down with His disciples, instead of looking back, He was looking forward to the Passover lamb, to Himself. When He said, "When you eat of this bread, remember my broken body, which is broken for you. When you take of this cup, remember my blood that is shed for you." And they left that room and they went to the Garden of Gethsemane. And it was in the Garden of Gethsemane that Jesus prayed. And He prayed with great intensity, "Father, if it be Your will, take this cup from me. But not my will, but Yours be done." And in that garden, Judas entered and he greeted Jesus. But he was followed by the religious leaders, the high priests, the temple guards, who arrested Jesus. And they took him and placed him on trial before the Sanhedrin in the night. He, who was without sin, an innocent man, was falsely accused. He was found guilty. They sent him to Pilate, the Roman governor, and said, "We want you, the Romans, to crucify him." But Pilate couldn't find anything wrong with this man. He wanted to pass the buck, so he sent him to Herod. But Herod sent him back. And Pilate tried everything. But the crowd cried out, "Crucify him! Crucify him! Let Barabbas go free!" And that morning, which we would call Friday morning, from 9 a.m. until noon, Jesus was paraded through the streets carrying His cross, wearing a crown of thorns, mocking Him as a king. They mocked Him. They made fun of Him. They spat upon Him. They scourged Him prior to carrying His cross. And in that morning, they nailed Him to the cross and placed Him up for public viewing with other criminals. And from 12 until 3, God's judgment came upon the sin of mankind. When darkness came over the land, for 3 hours it was dark. It was God's judgment upon sin. And Jesus cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me?" You see, when He prayed, "May this cup be taken from me," it wasn't the agony of the cross, but it was the sins of the world that He bore and the separation from a holy God who cannot bear the sin. The absence of light, the absence of God in those 3 hours. And at 3, He said, "It is finished," and He breathed His last. Now the body had to be taken from the cross, prepared for burial, and in the tomb before 6 o'clock, before the day of the Sabbath day, the day of rest, before Saturday. So on Friday was the first day he was crucified. He was in the tomb. Friday evening at 6, it became Saturday. 6 the next day, it became Sunday, the first day of the week. And early in the morning, that Sunday morning, 3 women believed. You see, that Friday night, as the choir sang, the disciples were without hope. Hope is gone. What do we do? It is finished. We're over. But the 3 women believed, and they went to the tomb expecting to find it empty, I believe. And they found it empty, and they were so excited that they ran to tell the others that He is not dead. He is risen. And so now, on the first day of the week, we participate, if you will, in a Passover meal. We take of this bread to remember the broken body of the Lamb who was slain for us. He who was without sin, He who knew no sin, became our sin so that we could receive the righteousness, we could become the righteousness of God. And we look back upon the Lamb who was slain and the blood that was shed for us. And when we are in Christ, we are covered with the blood of the Lamb. So when death comes to us, it passes over in a sense. That when we breathe our last, and every one of us will breathe our last in this world, we open our eyes in our new world, our new home, the place that He's preparing for us. But until then, on the first day of the week, we will gather to celebrate what Jesus did for us on the cross. And my prayer is that you would know, without a doubt, that He died for you to make your life right with our Creator. Heavenly Father, every nail that was pounded, with every pounding of the nails, You thought of us. With every thorn that went into the brow of Jesus, it was for us to provide the sacrifice for our sins so that we could be delivered into Your world for eternity. You have lifted us up as sons and daughters of You as we are in Christ. You have seated us in the heavenly realms. We are citizens of heaven. And we come now to say thank You for the price, for that exchange. Guide our hearts and our minds. Draw us near to You in Jesus' name. Amen. I pray that you may know Him. That you would know the hope to which He has called you. Verse 18. Having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which He has called you. Hope is what gets us up in the morning. Hope is what carries us through the day. Hope is what guides us through the week. And there are those, family members, friends, people you know who have given up hope or have lost hope. But hope is what carries us through. And my prayer is that you would know the hope to which He has called you. Now, I heard someone recently say, you're either headed into a trial in your life, or you're headed into a difficult time. You're either in the midst of a storm, a difficult time in your life, or you're heading out of one. You've been through one. That in this world, this this world that is broken by sin, we're not promised that it's going to be easy. And you're either headed for a trial, you're in the midst of a trial, or you're coming out of a trial. And it's hard. But I'm here to tell you that hope has come to carry us through those trials. One of my favorite historical records is found in 2 Kings chapter 6, where the king of Syria is at war with the king of Israel. The king of Syria, he makes his battle plans and he sends his armies into specific locations with a desire to ambush the armies of Israel. But the prophet Elisha speaks to the king of Israel and says, "Don't go to such and such a place, because the king of Syria has set up an ambush there." And this continually goes on, and the king of Syria is furious. He says, "There has to be a traitor among us." He brings his leaders together and he says, "We need to find the traitor among us." And they said, We don't have a traitor. It's the prophet Elisha. He speaks the very words that you speak in secret in your bedroom." And the king of Assyria says, "Find this Elisha and take him out." Well, they discover he's in a city called Dothan. So the king of Syria sends his armies to surround in the middle of the night the city of Dothan. And early in the morning, the servant of Elisha gets up, and I picture him on the rooftop with a little fire going, with some oil and flour, preparing the cakes for breakfast. And he runs to the key. My servant, or Elisha, wake up. We're surrounded. They have us surrounded. And Elisha wakes up and says, "What's all this commotion? The armies of Syria, they've surrounded the city." "It's okay." "What do you mean it's okay? What are we going to do?" "It's all right." And Elisha comes out and he looks around and he says, "Those that are with us are more than those that are with them." Those that are with us. One, two. What? Those that are with us are more than those that are with them. One, two. What are we going to do? And Elisha says, "Lord, would you open his eyes so that he could see?" And it's as if the veil between the physical and the spiritual is rolled back. And there, surrounding the armies of the Syrian army, are chariots and horses of fire. They are surrounded. And the servant now sees this. Now, I've shared that before, but I haven't really shared what happens next. Well, I love what happens next. Elisha goes out there and he prays, "Lord, blind the army." In the Syrian army, every one of them becomes blind. The lights go out. "Can you see?" "I can't see." "No, I can't see." "Can you see?" "No, I can't see." "What are we going to do?" And Elisha comes out, perhaps to the commanding officer on his horse. He says, "I know who you're looking for. I'll guide you there." And he grabs the horse and he guides the commander. The rest follow along, and the horses follow along, and the soldiers are holding on to those in front of them. And Elisha leads them right into the camp of the Israelite army, where now they are surrounded. And Elisha goes to the king of Israel and says, "Here you go. I've brought you the enemy right into your hands." And he says, "What do we do? Do we kill them all?" Elisha says, "No, just feed them. So he prays and they receive their sight and they begin to look. We're surrounded. What are we going to do? And they throw him a big feast. They feed them and they give them plenty to drink and they send them on their way. Thanks. It's great seeing you. Thanks for the party. And they go back home and now they live at peace. My prayer is that God would open your eyes so that you may see Jesus seated on the right hand of the throne of God at work for you. That God would open your eyes, that you would see Jesus, who is raised from the dead, lifted up, sitting by the Creator for you, to plead your case for eternity. Now, if God can raise Jesus from the grave, then He can handle anything you're facing. He can handle any difficulty of this life. You don't have to face death without hope. You can know that it's not the end, but only the beginning of something much greater. I pray that you may know the hope to which He has called you and the riches of His glorious inheritance in the saints. A couple from North Dakota wanted to escape the harsh winter and spend a few days in Florida. And they both had jobs and they both had to travel a lot for their job, so they had to arrange their travel on two separate days. He headed down to Florida on Thursday to get checked into the hotel, make preparations for her to arrive the next day. And he sent her an email later that day, but he missed her email address by one letter. And he accidentally sent an email to a woman in Houston, Texas, whose husband, who was a preacher for many years, just passed away. And she returned home from the funeral and found this email. After she read it, she fainted right there on the floor, and one of her sons came to check on her to find out what this was all about. And there on the computer screen it read, "To my loving wife from your husband. Subject, I've arrived. Here's the message. I've just arrived and have been checked in. I see that everything has been prepared for your arrival tomorrow. I'm looking forward to seeing you. Hope your journey is as uneventful as mine was. P.S. Sure is hot down here." Yeah, I thought that was funny too, then realized it was a preacher in the story, so I didn't like that so much. But the reality is there is a heaven and a hell. And God has given us the choice as to where we want to spend eternity. He's placed that decision in our hands. Now, we all make thousands of bad decisions. We've all made bad choices. Thousands upon thousands, depending upon how old you are. We've all sinned. We've all blown it. And with one decision, all that can be made right. With one decision, thousands of bad decisions are erased. Look at the cross. Look at what He did for you. I want you to know Him. What He did for you and what He is preparing for you in such a way that it changes everything. It changes your outlook. It changes your priorities. It changes your schedule. It changes how you live, how you serve, and how you worship. Now, I'm afraid that we know about Jesus, but we don't truly know Him. And my prayer is that you would know Him, that you would see His eyes of compassion and love for you. I pray that you will know Him and His incomparably great power for us who believe. It's great power for us who believe. During the construction of one of the East River bridges in New York City, the engineers encountered the sunken hull of an old barge, which would not yield to removal. And they tried with their engines and their towers and their their chains to release this barge which held fast in the mud on the bottom of the river. It was right in the way to build this bridge. But they could not free it until a young man right out of technical college showed up. He said, "Give me permission to try." They said, "Sure, go at it." That young man had another barge brought in right above, placed right above that sunken barge where it was stuck fast in the mud. And at low tide, he had chains fastened as tightly as they could get them to both barges. And the power of the ocean pouring into that river, rising to high tide, with ease lifted that sunken barge from the bottom where it was stuck. And from there they were able to retrieve it. The ocean is a great power, but it doesn't even compare to the power of the Creator who raised Jesus from the dead, who is at work for you and me, so that we can have all of our mistakes erased, that we can be seated with Him in heavenly realms, that He is preparing a place for us and He is at work for us. Listen to 19 through 21. "And what is the immeasurable greatness of His power toward us who believe? According to the working of His great might that He worked in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him at His right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and above every name that is named, not only in this age but also in the one to come. Jesus, the most influential man who ever walked on this earth, changed history, shaped our world as it is today. And now more than 2,000 years, 2.2 billion followers still following Jesus. But my prayer is that you would know Him. That you would know Him. For 12 years, there was a woman who suffered with a blood disease. 12 years. She spent all that she had on doctors and treatments till it was all gone. Until the day Jesus walked through, she suffered. He walked through and the crowds, as they often did, gathered around Him and pushed up against Him, wanting to hear Him, wanting to be healed of Him. As He was walking through the street, there were the disciples around Him trying to help keep the crowd back. But this woman, with every ounce of strength, pushed her way through the crowd, through families, through the wall of men that surrounded Jesus. And she believed, "If I could just touch the edge of His garment, I could be healed." And she reached out as far as she could. And as He walked by, His garment brushed against the tips of her fingers. And Jesus stopped and said, "Who touched me?" And the disciples said, "What do you mean, who touched you? There are people pressing all around. It could have been anyone." He said, "No, this is different. I felt power go out of me." And the woman felt power come in through her hand and her arm and into her body, and she was instantly healed. And when Jesus asked the question, "Who touched me?" she fell at His feet and said, "It was me, and I have been healed, and I thank You for what You've done for me." And my prayer is this, that as the woman with every ounce of strength did whatever it took to touch Jesus, my prayer is that you would do whatever it takes. Whatever it takes to touch Jesus. We're going to enter into a time of decision. The band's going to come up. We're going to sing. I mentioned last week, next week I want to have an unofficial day of commitment, an unofficial commitment Sunday, where you make a pledge. I pledge to do my part. I pledge to be a source of unity in the church. I pledge to grow with others. I pledge to pray for the church family and for the lost. I pledge to invite others to my church. I pledge to be all in, submitting to God's will. I pledge to go and serve those in need. I pledge to worship with others. But on the other side are cards that I have up here already. The someday card. It says someday, but the sum is marked out and it says today. Because we say, someday I'm going to. And you might say, someday I'm going to confess Jesus as Lord of my life. Someday I'm going to be buried with Him in baptism. Someday I'm going to make the changes in my life I need to change. Someday I'm going to recommit my life to the Lord. Make today that someday. And on that card it says, today I want to be baptized for the forgiveness of my sins and the receiving of the Holy Spirit. Today I want to place my membership at Gethsemane Church of Christ. I am an immersed believer. Today I want to return to a right relationship with Jesus and live consistently with wearing the name Christian. Today I want to begin the following in my life to take my relationship with Jesus to the next level. Or today I want prayer. Today I need prayer for. And you can come up here during our invitation time and you can write on the card. And if you want to be baptized right here in this service, bring me the card. Or if it's something you're not comfortable in front of people, you can fill out a card. Even after the service, fill it out and place it in our prayer vase and I will follow up with you. But we also have prayer requests that were brought last Sunday. There may be some in here from today. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, You know every name mentioned on these cards. You know every need. You know every fear. You know every doubt. And I pray that with the power that raised Jesus from the dead, that through that power You would be at work in each one, that You would change their life, that You would move and work for them, that You would provide. You would open the eyes so that they might see. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.